Although we know there's much to fear, we were moving mountains long before we knew we could. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to give. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe? Somehow you will. When prayers so often prove in vain, hope seems like the songbirds too swiftly flown away. Yet now I'm standing here with heart so full I can't explain, seeking faith and speaking words I never thought I'd say. What miracles you can achieve when you believe? Somehow you will. You will when you
to God. Where am I?
Second scripture.
There you go. I'm there. That's a good place to start. Okay. Well, friends, here we go. Picking up from last week, I know that's exciting. Because last week, we went to a difficult place with King David, didn't we? We walked with him into his violence with Uriah and Bathsheba. We entered his brokenness and felt some of his crisis with God. Hopefully, we also appreciated more what happened to Bathsheba and Uriah from their perspective. We also shared some of how to respond to the brokenness that we cause to others and receive ourselves. It is not God's intent for us to hurt one another or to be hurt. I think you believe me. Nevertheless, it is a good bit of life, and what it means to be human, it seems to invite suffering, the suffering of this world. But today, we're going to find some more help. And we begin with a tortilla. La Parota and Bandidos are popular enough around here for most, if not all of us, to know what a tortilla is. Even if you want to call it a tortilla. That is my wife. In fact, with a third Mexican restaurant coming, so swears Ed Cromer, the general Farmville community must be familiar with the mighty tortilla. I got myself going now. I have had my share of tortillas with fajitas and other Mexican dishes over the years. I have actually even made tortillas from scratch in Mexico on a mission trip once. Back in 1977, however, many fewer Americans could have said they knew what a tortilla is. And it must have been even more surprising to hear the story of a tortilla in New Mexico with the perfect face of Jesus on it, complete with a crown of thorns. This is what happened to Maria Rubio and her family. And while it's tempting to kind of laugh it off, as so many other sightings of Jesus in unusual places, this particular incident changed her family's lives forever. It's a really fascinating story, actually, how this family became the focus of so much attention then, both positive and negative, and Maria. See, Maria was already a chronically depressed person, and her marriage was on the rocks. She had married in her teens and was woefully unprepared for family life. This took a toll on her that her husband's serious alcohol problem only worsened. They lived in poverty, but raised five children. Her life had come to this serious crossroads in her late 30s, when one day she was making tortillas, as she did for every meal. And after cooking one, she saw what was clearly the face of Jesus, the face that she had grown up to recognize as Jesus. No, it was not what Jesus really looked like. None of our pictures are actually what Jesus looked like. We all tend to make him look a lot like ourselves. But her picture of Jesus burned on the tortilla there shocked her. It stirred her. It comforted her. It prompted her to see life differently. As I said earlier, this actually led her and her family down an entirely new and unexpected road. One of her daughters actually ended up becoming a state senator. But for the purpose of this conversation, I want you to see that when we are struggling, really struggling, with the burdens and problems and challenges of life, it is natural and good to look for help, even in strange to us places. We should seek out assistance when things get difficult. Life is fundamentally more than we can handle sometimes. But I'm not sure David knew this. Last week we saw him at a turning point in his life in the reign as king of Israel. Something happened to him. Something happened to him that caused him to stay at home rather than go out with the troops as king. Something happened to him that invited in his heart lust for another man's wife. Something happened to him that excused in his mind his murder of that man. We see this even more clearly in the events of today's text. Following the horrible incident with Bathsheba, David's oldest son, Amnon, became inflamed with lust for his half-sister, Tamar, a daughter of David. His feelings for her consumed him until he devised a way to force her into relations with him. Afterward, Amnon threw Tamar out of his life, and we never really hear from her again. Her brother, Absalom, however, greatly loved his sister and was enraged by the crime. But in the storm of that family life, their father, David, did nothing but get angry. Nothing. He doesn't seem to be able to respond to the crisis at all. And this sets in motion a series of events in which Absalom takes justice into his own hands, kills his half-brother, and runs into hiding. Through some twists and turns, Absalom eventually comes home, but his relationship with his father is very strained. Eventually, Absalom challenges his father David for the throne, leads a revolt, and tries to overthrow him as king. Still, David doesn't know what to do but run. He still loves his children, which is evidenced from his command to his leaders, where we pick up today's reading. 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning at verse 5. The king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave his orders to all the commanders concerning Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. The men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the slaughter was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest claimed more victims that day than the sword. Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak. His head was caught fast in the oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth when the mule that was under him went on. The man saw it and told Joab, "I saw Absalom hanging in a tree." Joab said to the man who told him, "What? You saw him? Why then did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have been glad to give you 10 pieces of silver and a belt." But the man said to Joab, "Even if I felt in my hand the weight of 1,000 pieces of silver, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, for my sake, protect the young man Absalom. On the other hand, if I had dealt treacherously against his life, and there's nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have stood aloof." Joab said, "I will not waste my time like this with you." He took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them into the heart of Absalom while he was still alive in the oak. And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. Skipping over to verse 31. Then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good tidings for my lord the king, for the Lord has vindicated you this day, delivering you from the power of all who rose up against you." David said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" The Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to do your harm be like that young man." The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he wept, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would that I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son. It was told Joab, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom. I'm going to continue a few verses here. So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the troops, for the troops heard that day, the king is grieving for his son. The troops stole into the city that day as soldiers steal in who are ashamed when they flee in battle. The king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. It's hard to imagine how David might be feeling. But we can certainly imagine just how incredibly impossible it might be to really hold the feelings that David had. What would any of us possibly feel whose children did to each other what David's children did, and then to have one of them try to overthrow you? It's impossible to even begin to put into words just how incredibly difficult that situation might be to imagine how he could hold those feelings. How would any of us possibly feel? In preparation for today, it occurred to me something that might cause someone to shut down and in that kind of a severe situation and make it impossible for that person to do much of anything. Depression. I will say here, severe depression that snowballed from tragedy after tragedy. His spirit must have been weighed down with his failures and losses. His heart must have been heavy with the deaths and abuses and heartache that were prophesied to follow his family. Maybe he felt like, in a way, he had caused it, that it was his fault. How could he not feel that way? The biblical text, the warning of Nathan from last time, points to this direction. Because of what you did, he said. Very terrible, horrible, violent, and humiliating things will happen to your family. Yes, I think it's obvious that David is awash in depression and is unable to be the king, the father, the man after God's own heart that he used to be. He used to always seek God's will on big decisions. I didn't see that once in this text leading up to this week. Being close to God makes no one immune from these kinds of struggles. So who is David today? He could be any of us. We're living in a world changing time. The entire XY axis of the world and reality has shifted. How we understand so many things has changed. Regarding vaccines and protection, we're essentially making choices about who lives and who doesn't based on politics and information that's not based in science or fact. How we understand each other, the community, the role of government, our neighbor, and God has changed. We have a choice about how to respond. We can be a David, or we could be a Maria. David is not going to know what to do, or becomes overwhelmed with things and does nothing. This is not a judgment of David, just a recognition of the demons he was wrestling, so to speak. Sometimes we might be tempted to give up and retreat, to hide under the covers until everything goes away, but it never does. We might benefit from some space, some room to breathe and think, but the problems do not fix themselves usually. David is case in point. When his family was falling apart, when his kingdom was falling apart, when his spiritual life was on the ropes, David became paralyzed by his mental state in the middle of that emotional hurricane. On the other hand, Maria had a different response to her overwhelming life. You know, she never went out seeking notoriety or to become a spectacle, but she encountered something that pointed to God's presence in her life, and she shared it. Apparently, many people were hungry for God's presence in 1977, since they had thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to their house just to see that tortilla. No, I'm not advocating really that we should go out and start believing everyone's claims about sightings of Jesus. You know, I could just see in the flower garden, right? When I saw butterflies the other day, I might see Jesus. No, we're not doing that. But we should be on the lookout for God, shouldn't we? God's presence, God's leading, seeking out assistance from beyond ourselves, outside of our own hearts and minds. How is God speaking to us? God has given us each other for so many reasons, and one of the best is to help in every way, including mental, emotional, spiritual help. Most people do not realize that they could really benefit from having someone like a counselor to talk to on a regular basis. I'm not saying everyone needs counseling or therapy, but we would all benefit from it. The stigma of talking to someone else needs to disappear. Was David too proud to seek guidance and spiritual help? Well, something prevented him. I was actually required to consult or to work with a spiritual director for a year back when I was in seminary. And I met with the director of the local Catholic church, since the Catholics actually have a long history of this kind of help. It was a great benefit to me as a person and in my ministry. About 7 years ago, I recognize the need in myself to see someone else again. It is not convenient or simple to go looking for help, but I became a better person out of that. You could even say I'm here today because of that spiritual direction, since it helped me in my relationship with God and getting back into ministry. During this time of pandemic, my family has also used counseling to find space to explore the changes of this horrible disease that have been unleashed on us. I recommend getting this help for everyone. The counselors have already gotten a lot of new clients out of this, and new services have emerged. You can even talk to people over the phone and the internet at home. Do not try to shoulder the weight of these days by yourself. We have never dealt with anything like this in living memory. If you feel like you are struggling, open yourself to help. Pray for help. Seek out help. Bring this grace into your life. How we value life should be reflected in how we value life when people are struggling with mental distress, emotional burdens, and spiritual brokenness. I understand that this may be new for many to think about help in this way, but David accepted and lived in brokenness for the rest of his life. By the time he realized he should have done something in today's story, Absalom was dead. And David wished that he could have taken his place. That's the severity of David's plight. The moment he wakes up and sees what his inaction caused, he found out the way to break a king's heart was to do nothing when he needed help. we should expect that more and more of us will be caught up in depression, anxiety, and other kinds of mental duress. Often it can be a temporary state with an open heart and a willing ear and God's love. Often we just need someone to talk to who can point us to God's good grace. Certainly I can be of help as a listening partner, but professionals and trained listeners can also help for more significant situations. We are all people of struggles and triumphs. None of us are meant to get through life without help. The world is forever changed. We are a forever changed people. This is not easy by any stretch. We will continue to need each other in many ways, and I hope we will allow ourselves to receive that help. It is also a gift from God. To God be the glory. Amen. In response to